Hi, this is Dana Gardner, Principal Analyst at Inner Arbor Solutions, and you're listening to Briefings Direct. Today we present a sponsored podcast discussion on automating and improving how PC security can be delivered as a service. We'll discuss how the use of cloud-based antivirus and security protection services are on the rise, and how small to medium-sized businesses can find great value in the software as a services or SaaS approach to managed PC support. We'll also examine how the use of internet-delivered security provides a strong business opportunity for resellers and channel providers to the businesses trying to protect all of their PCs, regardless of location. Recent announcements by Panda Security for cloud-based PC antivirus tools, as well as a managed office protection solution, highlight how security as a service is growing in importance and efficiency. Here to help us better understand how cloud-delivered security tools can improve how PCs are protected across the spectrum of end users, businesses, resellers, and managed service providers, we're joined by Phil Wainwright, Independent Analyst, Director of Procolix Ventures, and a ZDNet Software as a Service blogger. Welcome back to the show, Phil.
Great to be here, Dana.
We're also joined by Yosu Franco, Director of the Business Customer Unit at Panda Security. Welcome to the show, Yosu.
Hello, Dana. Nice to be here.
Let's start, Yosu, with looking at the big picture. The general state of PC security, the SaaS model, and the dire economy for many organizations, in a sense, are conspiring to make a cloud-based solution perhaps most appropriate now, perhaps more than ever. Tell us a little bit about why a cloud-based solution approach to PC security is, in fact, a timely approach to this problem.
Well, there are two basic problems that we are trying to solve here, that problems which are being, increased lately. One is the level of cybercrime. There are lots of new attacks coming out every day. We're seeing more and more malware coming to our labs. So at any given day, we're seeing approximately 30,000 new malware samples that we didn't know about the day before. That's one of the problems. And the second problem that we're trying to solve for companies here is the complexity of managing the security. So you have systems with more mobility. You have vectors for attack, ways in which a system can be infected. And if you combine that with the usage of more and more devices in the networks, all that combination makes it very difficult for the administrators to really be on top of the security mechanisms that need to watch out. So in order to address the first problem, the levels of cybercrime, we believe that the best approach that we as an industry need to take is to is an approach that is sustainable over time, that is able to address these rising levels of malware with some future. And we found that approach to be doing more processing in the cloud. In other words, to be able to process more and more malware automatically in our labs. That's the part of cloud computing that we are doing. And in order to address this, the second problem, we believe that the best approach for most companies is via management solutions that are simpler to administer, more convenient, and less costly for the administrators and for the companies.
Right. Now, Phil, we've seen this approach of moving out towards the web for services, the more centralized approach to a single instance of an application, the ability to manage complexity better through a centralized, cloud-based approach across other applications. It seems like a natural evolution to have a PC security now move to a SaaS model. Does that make sense from your observations?
Well, it certainly does. And to be honest, I've never really understood why people wanted to tackle web-based malware in an on-premise model, because it just doesn't make any sense at all. The attacks are coming from the web. The intelligence about the attacks obviously it needs to be centralized in the web. It needs to be gathering information about what's happening to clients and to instances all around the web across the globe these days. And to have some kind of batch process whereby your malware protection on your PC is something that gets updated every week or even every day. That's just not fast enough, because the malware attacks are going to take advantage of those times when your protection is not up to date, and really making sure that that the protection is up to date with the latest intelligence and is able to react quickly to new threats as they appear, means that you've got to have that managed in the center, and the central management has got to be able to update the PCs and other devices around the edge as soon as they've got new information.
Right. So the architectural approach of moving more back to the cloud where it probably belongs, at least certainly from an architectural and a timeliness or a real-time reaction perspective, that makes great sense. But in doing this, we're also offloading a tremendous burden from the client in terms of these large agents, tremendous demand on the processing at this client, the need to move large files around, a drag on the networks, labor for moving around the organization and physically getting to these machines. It seems pretty almost blatantly obvious that we need to change this model. Do you agree, Yosu?
Yeah, yes, I do believe. One point that I want to make, though, is that when we refer to SaaS, we use the term to refer to the management console of the security solutions. So SaaS for us is an interface for the administrator. It's an interface based on the web, obviously. Mm-hmm. And when we refer to cloud computing, refers to our capacity to process larger and larger volumes of malware automatically, so that our users are going to be better protected. Ideally, they should be going together. I think that's going to take a little bit of time until we put in our case at least, all of our solutions align into those two concepts. We've been moving towards that, and the latest announcement that we made about this product for consumers goes certainly into that direction. But I just want to make clear that SaaS for me is one thing. Cloud computing is a different thing. They need to work together, but as a concept, we should not confuse the terms.
Right. No, certainly.
And I think that's very important, Dana, if I can just break in there, because one of the key things I think that people misunderstand about notions of cloud computing and software as a service is this idea that everything gets sucked up into the network and you don't do anything on the client anymore. That's actually a rather a primitive way of looking at the SaaS and cloud spectrum, because the client itself is part of the cloud. It's a device which interacts with other peers in the web environment, and it's got processing power and local resources that you need to take advantage of. So I think the key thing is striking the right balance between what you do on the client and what you do in the cloud, and also being cognizant of where people are at in terms of their overall installed infrastructure and what works best in terms of what they've got at the moment and where they what their roadmap is for future migration.
I see. So we do, of course, need to separate SaaS and cloud. We need to recognize that this is a balance and not necessarily an all or nothing approach, either all cloud or all client. But this seems to fit particularly well into the demands of a small and medium-sized business or a distributed business or perhaps even a multi-level marketing company where there are people working at home, on the road, in remote offices, very difficult for the administrators or the managed providers or resellers to get at these machines. Moving more of that balance towards the cloud is our architectural goal. Let's move to the actual technical solution here. Yosu, you described a little bit about some new products. Clearly, there is still a agent involved coming down to the PC. I wonder if you could describe some of the two big announcements you've had, one around this consumer security cloud service, and then the second around your managed office protection solution.
Yes, well, I mean, about the announcement that we've made about cloud antivirus, this is a very important announcement for us because we've been working on this for a couple of years now, and this involves rebuilding the let's say the endpoint agent from scratch. So we saw the opportunity, and or I would say the necessity of building a much lighter agent, a much faster than previous agents, and also, and very importantly, an agent that is able to leverage this cloud computing capacity that we have, which we call the collective intelligence, to process malware automatically. So this, as I said before, this goes in the direction that we have in our technology vision, which is basically these three ideas: is cloud computing or collective intelligence, as we call it, regarding the capacity to process malware, software as a service as the approach that we want to take for managing our security solutions, and thirdly, the nano architecture as the new endpoint architecture in which we want to base all of our endpoint-based solutions. So, well, cloud antivirus is a very tiny, very fast agent that sits on the endpoint and is going to protect you by some level of local intelligence. And here, I want to stress the fact that we don't see the agents disappearing anytime soon to protect the endpoints. We believe that the more intelligence that we can pack into the agent, the better, but always respecting the needs of consumers, and that is to be very fast, to be very light, to be very transparent for them. Mm. Okay. No. This works by connecting with our infrastructure and asking for file determinations when the local agent doesn't know about a particular file that it wants to that it needs to inspect. Yeah. Secondly, the second announcement, or the this is more than an announcement. This is a solution that we've been already selling for some time now, and this is working very well. And it works by having this endpoint agent locally in every desktop or PC or laptop, and once you have downloaded this agent, which works transparently for the end user, all the management takes place via SaaS. So this is a management console that works hosted from our infrastructure, in which any admin, regardless of where they are, can manage any number of computers, regardless of where they are located, basically. And this basically works by having every agent to talk to this infrastructure via internet, and to talk to other agents which might be installed in the same network, distributing updates or distributed other types of policies, for instance.
Right. Now, an interesting and innovative approach here is that you've made the cloud security agent free to consumers, which should allow for them to get protection for virtually nothing. But in doing so, you've increased the network, population for what you can do to gather instances of problems, which immediately sends that back to your central cloud processing, which can then create the fix and then deliver it back out. Is that oversimplifying it?
I think that's a very, very true statement. We're not the first ones giving a security agent for free. There are some other companies which have been using kind of the freemium model before. We have just released this very first version of cloud antiviruses. We're distributing it for free with the idea that first we want people to know about it, we want people to use it, but very importantly, the more people using it, the better protected they are all going to be.
Right.
Because we're going to be gathering intelligence about really the malware that is hitting really the street, let's say, and we're going to be able to process that faster and to protect all those users in real time.
Right. Now, Phil, this sort of strikes me as Pandora being out of the box. I can't imagine us going back meaningfully in the marketplace to the older methods and architecture for security. Do you agree with me that this is a compelling sort of shift in the market?
Well, I mean, it is, obviously. We're talking about network scale here, and the malware providers are already using network scale to great effect, particularly in the use of these zombie elements of malware that effectively lurk on devices around the web and are called into action to coordinate attacks. You've got these malware providers using the collective intelligence of the web, and if we don't, if the good guys don't use the same arsenal, then they're just going to get left behind. And I think the other thing that's great about this freemium model is that even though the users aren't paying anything for the software, in effect they're giving something back because the intelligence that's being collected is making the central protection stronger. So it's a great demonstration of how you can even derive value from something which is actually distributed for free.
Sort of all for one, one for all.
Well, yes, that's right.
Okay, so if this works well for security, it strikes me that this also makes a great deal of sense for remediation or general support or patches or upgrades or managing custom applications. So it certainly seems to me that, you know, crossing the Rubicon, if you will, into the security from a cloud perspective will open up an opportunity for doing much, much more across the general total cost of ownership equation for PCs. Is that in your future? Do you subscribe to that vision, Yosu?
Yes, I do. I think that first we've been a specialized player in the anti-malware business, but I do see certainly the opportunity to do more things once you are installing an endpoint, to be able to use the same management approach and be able to configure the PC or to do a remote session on it based on the same console. For now, we're just doing the full anti-malware and the personal firewall in this way, but we do see the opportunity of doing more kind of a PC lifecycle management functionalities within it.
Sure. Now that brings us back to the economy. So Phil, you know, I've heard grousing from CIOs and administrators and just about anybody in the IT department for years about how expensive it is from the total cost perspective to maintain a rich a PC client experience. Nowadays, of course, we don't have the luxury of it would be nice to cut costs. We really have to cut costs. Do you see a significant move towards more cloud-based services as an economic imperative?
Oh, yes. And one of the interesting phenomena, I think, has been that things like help desk and security and remote support has increasingly been delivered using the software as a service model. Even in large enterprises, because if you're the chief security officer for a large enterprise that's very dependent on the web for elements of its operations, then you've got a tremendously complex task. And I think there's an increasing recognition that it's much better to access pools of expertise to get those jobs done than for everyone trying to become a jack of all trades and inevitably falling behind the state of the art in the technology. So I think more and more, even in large enterprises, but also in smaller businesses, I think we're seeing people turning to outside providers for expertise and remote management because that's the most cost-effective way to get at the most up-to-date and the most proficient knowledge and capabilities that are out there. So, yes, we're going to see more and more of that, spot on.
Right. Now, I understand how this is a benefit to end users, a simple download, and you're protected. I understand how this makes sense for small, medium-sized business who are trying to manage PCs across a distributed environment, but without perhaps having an IT department or a security expertise on staff. But I'm not quite sure I understand how this relates now to an additional business model benefit to, say, a reseller or a added value provider of some kind, perhaps a managed service provider. So, Yosu, help me understand a little bit better how this technology shift and some of these new products benefit the channel.
Yeah, of course. Well, I mean, we clearly see that, especially in the current economic times, I mean, more and more resellers are looking to add more value to what they're offering. I mean, margins for them, if they're selling hardware or if they are selling software licenses, are getting tougher to get and are being reduced. So the way for them to really see the opportunity into this is into thinking that they can now offer remote management services without having to invest any amount in what is infrastructure or in any other type of license that they may need. It's really based all on the SaaS concept. They can now say to their customers, okay, from now on, you will forget about having to install all this management infrastructure in-house. I'm going to remotely manage all the endpoint security for you. I'm going to give you these service levels agreements whereby I'm going to check the status of your network every, I don't know, twice or three times a week or once a day. And if there is any problem, I can configure it remotely, or I can just spot where the problems are and I can fix them remotely. This means that for the end user, it's going to reduce the operating costs, and for the reseller, it's going to increase the margins for the services they're offering. And we believe that there is a clear alignment among the interests of end users and partners, and most importantly, also from our side with the partners, because we don't want to replace the channel here. What we want is to become kind of the platform of choice for these resellers to provide these value-added services.
And does Panda then lurk behind the scenes, the picks and shovels for the work and solution? Do you allow them to brand around it? Are you an OEM player? How does that work?
Well, we can certainly play with a certain level of branding. We've been doing so with some large deals that we've made, for instance, here in Spain. But most of them, they want to start touching and kicking the tires and see if it works. And they don't need the rebranding in the first instance. But yes, we've seen some, especially some large providers who do want some customization of the interface with their logos. And that's certainly a possibility we can do.
Right. Well, you know, we've also seen in the market a more diversity of endpoints. We've seen, for cost and convenience reasons, move towards netbooks. Smartphones have certainly been a fast-growing part of the mix, despite the tough economy. This model of combining the best of SaaS, the best of cloud, a small agent, coordinating them, managing them, strikes me as something that will move beyond the PC into a host of different devices. Am I wrong on that, Phil?
No, absolutely right. I mean, one of the scary things, I think, is that we're carrying around, many of us are carrying around smartphones now, and it's only a matter of time before these very capable, intelligent platforms also become vulnerable to the kind of attacks that we've seen on PCs. On top of that, there's a great deal more support required to make sure that the users get the best out of those devices. And therefore, I think that we're going to see much more of this this kind of remote support being provided, so that, for example, the expertise to be able to support half a dozen different types of mobile devices within an organization is something that you know, the typical small business can't really keep up with. But if they're able to access a third-party provider that has got the infrastructure and the experts on hand to do that, then it becomes a manageable issue again. So I think that, yes, we're going to see a lot more of this. And ultimately, it's going to give us, I think, a lot more freedom just to be able to get on with our jobs without having to worry about getting or understanding how the device works, or even worse, working out how to fix it when something goes wrong, because hopefully there will be much fewer instances when that downtime happens.
Yeah, well, let's hope that if we nip the bud here for this malware on the multiple devices in the cloud before it ever gets to the device, then it sort of removes the whole incentive or rationale for trying to create these problems in the first place. So maybe moving it to the cloud actually starts staunching the problem from its root and core. Let's move forward now to some of the proof points. We've talked about this in theory. It certainly makes sense to me from an architectural and vision perspective. But what does it mean in dollars and cents? So, Yosu, do you have any examples of organizations that have started down this path, small to medium-sized businesses perhaps, and or resellers, and how has this affected their bottom line?
Well, I mean, yes, we do have very good examples of people who've moved along this path. Just to give you an example, our largest installation with the managed office protection product is over 23,000 seats in Europe. It's a very large school or education institution, and they're managing their entire network with just a bunch of just a very few number of people. This has considerably reduced their operating costs. They don't need to travel that much to see actually what's happening with the systems. But we do get we also have many other examples of resellers that are actually using this product not only to manage let's say business PCs, but also managing even consumers' PCs. I think that we're going to see a convergence between the world of the consumer and the world of let's say what we call a business. Some analyst firms are talking a lot about the consumerization of IT.
Right.
I think that we'll also see that consumers are going to start using technologies that perhaps we thought belonged to the business space. And I'm talking, for instance, the ability to for a reseller to centrally manage the PCs of consumers. I think this is an interesting business model, and we are having some examples of this, I would say, emerging trend in the U.S. For instance, we have some resellers which are managing, in fact, thousands of computers from the basement. You know, so I think that even though our intention was to I would say position this product for SMBs, we do see that there are some I would say verticalized niches in the market in which this model fits really well. Talking about highly distributed environments, but hey, what's more highly distributed than a network of consumers, everyone in their own home, right?
Well, yeah.
So I think this is definitely something that we're going to see more and more happening in the future.
Yeah, without going down this very interesting track too much, we're starting to see some CIOs cotton to the notion of letting people pick their end device, but then, accessing services back in the enterprise and with some modest governance and security. It sounds like a service like this might fill that role. And then furthermore, in addition to sort of the choice, consumer or end user choice on device, it seems to me that we're also in a position now for the providers of the bit pipes, right? The internet and telephony and communications, collaboration, to start offering the whole package, a PC with security, with remediation, with protection, and you pay a flat fee per month. So do you think these two things are around the corner, Phil, or maybe 3-4 years out?
I think that people often, to the previous point, I think that people often think of the consumer web as completely separate from the business web, whereas in fact the reality today is that individual users at home are just as likely to be doing business things or work things on their home PCs as they are to be doing actually home things or even side businesses on their work PCs.
Right.
If someone is auctioning off their collection of plastic toys on eBay, then are they an individual consumer or are they a business? The lines are shading, and I think what you need to look at is what is the opportunity cost? If it's going to cost me time that I can't afford, or if it's going to mean that I'm not going to be able to earn money that I could otherwise be earning, then it's going to be worth my while to pay that monthly subscription. And I think that's one of the key things that people forget when they're comparing the cost of a SaaS solution or a web provided solution to a conventional installed piece of packaged software, they never look at the resource and time that the user actually spends to get things set up with the packaged software, or to fix things when they go wrong, or to do upgrades. And what you're effectively the value that's being created and is being shared out by the vendors and the providers in the SaaS model is that time saving and opportunity cost saving.
Yeah. Now, we have to assume that the security is going to be good, because if it doesn't protect, then that's going to become quite evident. But what we're also, I think, talking about now that I understand it better, Yosu, is really we're focusing on simplicity and convenience vis-a-vis these devices, vis-a-vis security, but in the larger context of I suppose, a level of comfort, of trust that the device will work, that the network will be supported, and that I'm not going to run into trouble. So is that what we're really talking about here as a value proposition, a simplicity and convenience?
Well, yeah, I mean, of course, but as you said, it needs to protect. It needs to be very effective at a time when we're seeing really huge amounts of malware coming out of the day. So that's a precondition. It needs to protect. But if it's something that is going to be there protecting users, and many users see security as something that they need to live with, it's not really something that they see as a positive application that they have. It's something, it's sometimes that annoys people. Well, let's make it as simple, as transparent, as fast, as imperceptible as possible. And that's what this is all about, I think. Yeah.
Well, very good.
Yeah.
We've been learning a lot today about PC security and how it can be delivered as a service in conjunction with the cloud-based central management and processing, and how this architectural approach is now quite prominent for security, and perhaps will become more prominent across other aspects of client device support and convenience and lower cost and higher trust. So a lot of goodness. I certainly hope it works out that way, helping us to understand how this cost and protection benefit, I suppose, along with productivity benefits as a result, less downtime is a good thing. We've looked at this across the spectrum of end users and businesses, resellers, and managed service providers, and helping us understand this, we've been joined by our panel. I want to thank them. Phil Wainwright, independent analyst, director of Bacolix Ventures, and a ZDNet SaaS blogger. Appreciate your time, Phil.
It's been great to be with you today, Tom.
We've also heard from Yosu Franco, director of the business customer unit at Panda Security. Thank you, Yosu.
It's been my pleasure. Thanks.
And I also want to thank the sponsor of this discussion, Panda Security, for underwriting its production. This is Dana Gardner, principal analyst at Inter Arbor Solutions. Thanks for listening, and come back next time.